I'm Chase.
And I'm Timothy.
And this is Customer Service.
Chase.
What up, buddy?
How are you?
Oh, it's good, actually. It's good.
We're just, you know, I feel like we're getting to the top of the hill. We're about to get to the 1st of January.
No, we're not. We go right. You know that this is just, it's when you work this type of job, bro.
There's so much happening in January.
The downtime is so weird. The downtime is like, you know, like May or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's the time. That's the only time when it's like chill.
Yeah.
Every other, you know.
No, because you're absolutely right. We talked about it yesterday. There's so much coming in January. It's going to be a whole hoot. So.
Listen, I don't like to slow down. So I get anxious when we slow down. I like to have the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And
it's definitely nice to hustle. I just feel frantic, but it's good. It's good. I like that we're.
That's the time of the year kind of thing where it just feels like you have to.
Well,
be.
Well, yeah, I got my family coming into town this weekend, trying to figure out. There's like 6 or 7 of them. But they're all, because my sister's a flight attendant. So
6 or 7 of them.
It's my sister, my mom, my sister's friend, Kenzie, my cousin, and then Delaney's boyfriend, Rick. But then there's me and Machan as well.
Shout out, Rick.
What up, boy? You're right. I think that I'm feeling like, oh, fuck, there's a lot going on. But it's all good. It's all good.
No, because I feel the same way. I feel like you know, stressed out and tense. And I'm like, but I'm not sure, like, what it is. Like,
you think about it and you're like, well, I guess there's nothing really to stress about.
You know, everything's, you know, I don't want to say business as usual, but we're chilling. So, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just that time of year where you just feel stressed. I'm sure we're not the only ones. This is not an original thought of ours.
No.
No. All right. Well,
I do have one thing to share. I wanted to do a quick shout out. Dean got me something for my birthday that arrived in the mail yesterday.
Okay.
It's the new Boz book.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that yet?
No.
Whoa.
I have said before, I'm not Boz pilled like
you. I'm Boz pilled.
I was Boz pilled in the old days of Bon Appetit.
Yeah. No, I know the era.
And listen, I think the recipes are good. I think they're really good. Especially for like what I think it is they're because I was gonna say they're good for home cooks. And I'm not saying that I'm not a fucking professional by any stretch of the imagination. But what I mean is like when you make that stuff, it turns out.
Yep.
90% of the time. Because it's not like it's not super technique based. It's also not super like it's not assuming you know techniques that like not everybody knows, you
for
know what
sure.
I mean? And it doesn't require ingredients that like are impossible to get. You know,
it's all shit you mostly have. Like
there were
a couple I marked like a pepperoni fried rice, and it's like, yeah, fuck yeah. How'd you know, Molly? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like we had all the ingredients for that sans the pepperoni. It's like, okay, cool. Like it's already all there. So
it's like in the food world to me, it's like this. It's like pop punk. You know what I mean? Where it's like I recognize that she's like no pressure. It's still pop punk, but it's good. I get that it's good. You know what I mean? But it's not like, I don't know. It's just not where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and the thing is too, and back to the home cook aspect of it is like, we have the whole gamut. We like cookbooks. We have the Maddie Matheson one, the one that's as big as 6 Harry Potter books. You know, it's blue.
Yeah.
And his thing is a different approach of like, he doesn't want it to be quick and cute. He wants you to take 8 hours cooking it.
Yeah.
It's like a rabbit.
That's the first
gravy
one. The second one's
shit.
A little like the second one's goofier.
I don't have the second one.
It's fun. Yeah. I mean, I like him a lot just because I think he's a great guy.
I'm not dunking on him. I'm just saying it's a whole different approach.
I think that was the other thing. Like I loved the Molly Boss and the Bon Appetit situation. And listen, Molly, we still love you, girl. Don't get it twisted. But it's the new show just like doesn't hit for me the same way. I liked it when it was a little rattier. You know what I mean?
I agree. I've fallen off on YouTube again. Shout out Allison Roman. Michelle and I were on her videos for a couple weekends.
I love Allison Roman.
I feel comfortable with her. I wish that she could be my therapist and or my mom. Like I think she's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you know we did do a couple.
You're talking about a kettle chip versus a Dorito. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
It's the you and me. You know what? If Allison Roman and Molly Boss started a podcast, it would sound like a smarter version of this.
Who?
Yeah,
I'm Molly.
Obviously,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but anyway, I agree with you. I miss, I miss the OG Bon Appetit. We've said it 100 times, but give me Chris Morocco.
Look, obviously, whatever drama went down, we don't understand it, but we support our homies.
I liked on Sundays watching the videos on the TV.
Yeah, dude, I just think that it was a ton of views, but like initially it was like kind of like a if you knew you knew kind of thing to a certain degree.
Yeah,
and not everyone was into it. You couldn't just send anyone that and be like, this will be entertaining for you.
Yeah.
You had to be like into cooking or whatever.
They hit the exact formula though. It just
so good.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. And then it was like, give me anything you got.
Yeah. Pal, because I'll rewatch them. Right, yeah. Don't care.
And then after that, you know, everything fell apart during that. And then I just, you know, and I think that like cooking stuff is sort of in a, this is an odd way to begin.
Yeah. We got it.
It's in a weird place to me right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because first of all, I think because of COVID too, and everyone was like doing a lot of like home cooking stuff, because what else are you going to do? It kind of started with that sourdough shit and then kind of went off from there. And it's like, I don't know. It became a little less sacred, like a little bit, like it just became like everyone was into it suddenly. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh man, now there's too many people that are into it. Now it's not as cool anymore. It kind of felt like that to me. And then there was a lot of like, again, don't get me wrong, Buzz got the fucking bag. I would do the same fucking thing tomorrow. I'll sell my soul to the devil, no problem.
Yeah, buddy.
But at the same time, it's like, it just took a little bit of the je ne sais quoi of the whole thing out of it for me. Of like, I mean, this happened to a lot of things. I mean, even like the original, I like Matty Matheson just like as a guy. Uh-huh. And like, I think that his restaurants like work is like, you can just tell. This is a guy who's all in.
He's got it figured out. He knows what his
even
is.
Like I liked his original show when it was just at his like
when it was on Vice?
That tiny little house. I like that one too. Yeah. But when he first, it was around 2020. Maybe it was a little before then. When he's just doing it out of that little like Canadian house, and it was like the small kitchen, you know, and it's like he barely fit in the kitchen, and it was like really wild, and it was a lot. Yeah. You know, it was like
a lot of screaming and shit.
Yeah, and I love all the other shows. That one just really like did it for me because there's like a certain intimacy that I think you has been removed from cooking that I think sucks.
I have a way to describe it and tell me if you agree. Okay. And then let's get into our subject. It is the difference between like the last thing you forget or shed from Title Fight and then getting into something like Hyperview where it's like, okay, I see you guys have matured and shit, but I love the juvenile aspect, the ragtag aspect of like the first shit.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that everything after that record is also really good. It's almost like it should have been a separate band or a thing because the initial thing is, like I said, it's just so raw and intimate and vulnerable and good. And that's like the original Bon Appetit was not lit well, and there was a lot of stuff going on.
And they
on
weren't
the back room.
Famous and shit.
They were literally. I mean, and like again, I think they should have been getting paid and all this other shit. But they were like obviously like they. I don't think anyone knew what it was really, and it was just this sort of like. It's unscripted and it's interesting, and these people just seemed like people.
Yeah.
Like that, I think, you know, that's probably the difference. In those two instances, the two things I'm talking about, I like those versions of those people because they weren't celebrities yet.
Yeah.
Now it's like celebrity cooking. Yeah. And that's 100%. Also cool. Yep. You know what I mean? That's a separate thing. It just doesn't feel, I don't know, it's like lost a little bit of the like, oh man, I miss Shed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree.
And
I agree.
So, and it's also, I like go back and watch those and everything. And that's a little bit of the, like, a lot of those things got, the production got too big.
Too good.
And it looks great. And the recipes are still good. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. There's something missing to me.
No, I agree.
I don't know how
I agree
to,
with you.
Pinpoint
again,
exactly.
It was just that perfect formula that. It was in a specific time and place, and you can't replicate it. You just can't.
So. I mean, even like the old Kenji videos and stuff where he was strapping that thing to his head before he lost weight and got like, he's like a hot guy now. And like initially it was just like this guy in his kitchen, his floors were dirty and the dogs were running around. And you're like, God, this guy's like talking about technique and like the science of things. And it's so good and smart. And I don't know. It just like that really revved my engine, you know? And then now it's like, it's just so cleaned up. And that's all.
I hear you.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But I mean, even when you think about like old Top Chef, when they would be like running and doing all this stuff, there's a lot of swearing. It's kind of like the kitchens weren't as nice and a little dirtier, a little rowdier. And then they would be like outside, like blasting cigs, and they'd be interviewing them out there. And I'm like, I liked that version of it. I mean,
it's all refined for show.
And look, I still like it. Yeah. I'll watch Padma do anything that she wants to do. So, but it's just not as, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as raw. Cooking's got it's a little less punk than it used to
no,
be.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, shows like The Bear and everything, it's like, it's all romanticized at this point. Yeah. And everyone's a cook now. And you're like, dude, it was just a little more fun when it felt like me and a handful of weird guys I knew were into, you know what I mean? And now it just feels like everybody's into it. But, you know, to be honest with you, I'll give Abby credit. Abby was like on that train, but she was she bought a cookbook every paycheck she got when we were younger.
Oh, really?
And yeah, she was way into it way before anyone was into, that wasn't like a thing anybody was into. And she was really into like a certain chefs and stuff. And, you know, it was before I got, she's the one who got me into it. Yeah. And I'm sure that's how she feels when I got into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. You know, it's probably also me. It's like when everyone starts liking something, it's like, God, I don't want to like it anymore.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I completely understand that.
Yeah, so, but again, like all these people, still enjoy it, but okay. Well, anyway, we didn't need to get into that debate for no reason. We're here to talk today about the Orslo project that we've released at this point, but it's not available for purchase unless you are a you know kind of person.
Yeah.
If you're hearing that and you're hearing this podcast, you should be in our Discord. So please ask and we will get you in there before the end of the year. It's just like the Engineered Garments one. We just kind of wanted to like talk it through because I'm sure people are interested in you know how these things come to be. This one in particular is interesting because basically what happened with Orslo is we came up with a bunch of ideas a while ago. Like we were like kind of like
2 years ago, probably.
Yeah. We're like, let's just kind of map out the next few years. We want to come up with some ideas and start understanding because these things take a long time. I think that, you know, I think people are used to like the sneaker version of collaboration, which I think probably does take a long time because their lead times are forever, but it's more of like, this is a style that we're going to be promoting. And it's going to be made heavily. We want you to do a spin on it and like a color spin or swap out the laces or do, you know, put your logo on it and all this stuff. But extensively, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but from the way I see it is the shoe brand's going to decide, like, I'm just going to use Nike as an example, that like an Air Max is going to be popular next year. We're going to run a bunch of Air Maxes. There's going to be a bunch of marketing and promotion around Air Maxes. And those will be at tier 4, 3, 2, 1 level. And then at the 0 level, we're going to do collabs with specific partners that are going to do a flip on that shoe.
Yep.
And that will come out first, and that will lead the sales on all the different tiers of that style. Yeah. You know, because you got to think, like, they're 2 years out. They're thinking about, like, you know, what patterns do we need to have ready? What adjustments are we making? What, what fabrics do we need to buy? What rubber do we need to buy? What factory do we need to engage?
What can the collaborators actually change? What is actually
giving them time to do their thing? Yeah. You know, so it's just, it's similar in a way that we need to let people know ahead of time so that we can go, are the fabrics that we're requesting available? Are the changes to patterns, possible? Are, you know, so it's a lot of like back and forth and trying to make decisions early. So we pitched a bunch of different ideas. This one in particular was something that we were like, I don't know if this is doable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an idea. We wanted to do a Western shirt. I like the look of a Western shirt. I'm not like a Western shirt type of guy, but I love the look of it. In that it has this, like, it's one of those pieces like an M65 or something that was a military piece, but it was, you know, co-opted, you know, in the 60s and 70s by, you know, counterculture and then punk. And then now it's like a whole other piece. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Western shirt. It's like, it's weirdly like cowboy stuff. It's also like very hippie at the same time.
Yeah.
And it can be a lot of different things, and it's been appropriated as a lot of different things throughout the years. Yep. And I think that that's interesting about it.
Yeah. Like, think La Mer, usually they'll do a Western shirt, but it's in a very luxe material with, like, very special buttons. And, you know.
And it just feels, like, really classic and iconic. And I like that it hit that, but it also feels like it's not, like, for one type of person or dressing, or one, a guy that dresses a certain way or anything like that. So I like the idea of using their Western shirt. I wanted to do it. I said, I think the initial, like, conversation was, like, can it be, like, damaged or roughed up, or can it be in some way so it feels like a little bit more like personal? I just kept using, I wanted to use that as like kind of the guiding light of like distress it, but how does it feel like real and personal and you know what I mean, and unique. And that one was low on the list, and it wasn't low on the list because I didn't like it. It was low on the list because I figured that's going to be really time consuming. There's no chance we're doing that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I figured one of the other ideas come through. We did it. You know, this was years and years ago.
We've done a couple collaborations.
Every once in a while, I'd get an email from Ichiro asking me like, what do you think, you know, something like a little bit more about that piece in particular. And I'm like, well, you know, I think that this could work or this could work. And it would just be a lot of like little back and forth. Yeah. This would be over like 6 months would go by and we wouldn't talk about it. What wouldn't be the one we were doing right now or anything. And then it would get brought up again and brought up again. Ultimately, we got it to a place where it was like, listen, I think that like what could be cool is, you know, like I said, I just wanted it to look personal. That was the main thing I wanted to drive home is I didn't want it to just be like a, you put a scrape on one side of the shirt and it happens on every single one. And
then it's a custom shirt, but they all
have some sort of, yeah. And I was like, and I don't really know how to accomplish that. I just feel like it would be cool.
Yeah, I got you.
Out of nowhere, one summer, he sent me a message and it was just the picture. And he said, well, how's this look? And it was like, closer to what we're looking at now. I mean, it was still, you know, prototyping it, but closer to what we're looking at now, which was like burrow fabrics sewn on top of each other. Clearly, it was hand stitched. It was, you know what I mean? And I was like, wow, this is a tremendous amount of work. It looks like a work of art, which is what I think burrow often looks like when you, you know, if you understand
it. Look at it. Yeah.
And I was like, but I have no idea how you're going to make, you know, more than, you know, fucking like 25 of these, you know what I mean? So I think it's cool. If you want to do 25, I think we should still do it. It's like, well, if you like this, let me see what I can do. Because the problem is going to be fabrics. And I knew that was going to be the issue because these are, if you look at the shirt, just to kind of talk it through, it's a Western shirt. It has been hand stitched, hand adorned with different pieces of burro and sashiko and different types of fabrics. You know what I mean?
From Ichiro's personal collection, which I think, to me, that's the biggest selling point. When I found that he was young, I was like, that is so, one, generous, but fucking sick. Like, where else would you get this?
Well, and I think that that's the right word, generous, because that's how I thought of it, too, in that, you know, I told him, I said, I love this piece. I'd love to do it in whatever capacity we can. He's like, well, I'm worried about the sizing runs, too, but let me see what I can do. And this, all the fabrics came from his personal collection that he's been collecting for years. And, you know, he's a massive vintage collector. And all these pieces are from that thing. So he definitely, like, did this, you know, out of the goodness of his heart. Because obviously he's been collecting those for years. You know, you kind of collect them and going, I don't know what I'm going to do with these. But at some point. So it's really cool that these were the special thing he decided to do with those fabrics. It's a Western shirt. It's been hand adorned with all these fabrics. Each one, as you can imagine, the process is extensively lay shirts out, and then you have to remember sizing is going to change the placement dramatically or the size of the piece of paneling or whatever. Mm-hmm. So hand laid out, hand assessed, you know what I mean? You know, you lay out the fabrics in the way that you want them to go.
Yep.
Those have to get, I guess, like, I'm guessing they were like pinned to the shirt in the placements that he wanted them, sent to his team, and then hand stitched on top of that. And you can very clearly tell on a lot of these shirts that these are completely like done by hand because it's really the only way to do it.
And
properly.
You can even tell, like, in a lot of these fabrics, there's repairs done to the fabrics prior to it.
Yeah.
It's worn fabrics that somebody loved and wore in something or was used in some regard, hand repaired however many years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really when you see, especially I think that we're in a unique situation where we've seen all of them like together. Yeah. And I think it is when you see them all together, you're like, this is a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
Because like I said, it's not just the hand sewing, which obviously everyone knows, like when you hand sew something, you can imagine a panel like that, even if you're a pretty good sewer, is going to take you 20 minutes. Even if you're quick, you know what I mean?
And it's not just on one or two little hits on each shirt. Like, the whole bitch is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's on the collar, it's on the cuffs. Again, each one has been hand-assessed. They looked at and decided, okay, we're going to use this fabric. This is going to be my starter fabric, and I'm going to add ones that complement that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that will lay well together, because if you put a thin piece with a thick piece, they can't overlap, otherwise it'll be... You know what I mean? Like, so like I said, it's an overwhelming thing to look at them all on a rack together, all 100 of them.
Yeah.
And say, like, wow, this is hundreds of hours of work. So this has been being worked on for years at this point, you know, off and on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is little like glances here and there of like, okay, here's how this batch turned out, and it was like, God, these are really crazy. Great. Yeah. So you know, this was a long time coming, and this was the way to make it personal, because every single shirt is 100% unique.
Yes.
As the one who put them all on hangers to get them ready.
I've been pulling them as we've been photographing them and having them internal and going to the store and this and that. Every single one is different. Every single placement of like you put two. There's none of them have the same treatment, the same fabric. It's no matter what.
I'd say that the vibe stays familiar throughout the whole ones, but the fabrics are all different. And you know, because it's like you cut up a fabric, you're like, well, we have this much to use of it. You know what I mean, so it's only going to get on like five of the shirts or whatever. So it's really, like I said, shocking when you see them all together because of the amount of work, but also just the amount of like personalness that you're. So when you're buying this, it's like you're buying something that, like, number one is like this, you know, collaboration and concept that, you know, our team and Ichiro's team came together on. Mm-hmm. The second thing I think is the amount of work that goes into each one, which is truly like mind-boggling.
Yep.
Then the amount of time laying them out, assessing them, getting the fabrics correct, passing them off, getting them. I mean, just the amount of time Ichiro personally put into each shirt here is another one that's like, wow, this is like, this is a piece that has become like really special, really fast.
Yeah.
Well, not really fast over the course of several years, but what I respect is that the thing I was driving home was that I think it'd be cool if there was like a personal element to him. And this is very much that, even though it was not what I had in my head initially. That's what's cool about collaboration. I mean, I think that anyone who's ever played music, you know, if someone plays, you know, four chords for me and says, can you put guitar over the top? What I'm going to do versus what somebody else is going to do versus everyone's going to hear it differently. And that's kind of like what's cool about collaboration. You start as like, here's this rough idea that I have. And then it's like, okay, every step of the way it gets firmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just little by little, you know, I put a little bit in, he puts a little in, I put a little in. And it becomes this like interesting, you know, thing. It's like this. And now it's like what he heard as personal was different than what I heard as or was trying to communicate as personal. And that's like the best version of what it could be.
Yep.
Say if you're a fan of like burrow or denim or Japanese fabrics or anything like that, this really combines like all of those things. It's you know, richly dyed in indigo initially just on the denim shirt alone and then washed out and then has had fabrics picked that complement its color kind of perfectly.
Yep.
It goes along. I mean, throughout the entire thing, it's just everything is so cohesive and nice and pleasant. And it almost feels that like when you see like 10 of them side by side, there's this thing where you're like, it all looks like the same piece, but when you look at the details, you're like, it's all dramatically different. And that's not nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like to create that cohesion is not easy.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly, you know, impressed at, you know, the outcome of these shirts and just how it came together. Number one, and how they've turned out. And, it was really fun, I think, styling them too, because I think people see that as like a really, maybe a difficult thing to wear to a certain degree.
Yeah, I was
literally
just looking to look at all the fabrics. I was just looking through our product shots, and we had them on Kate and Devontae. And four very different looks we put together.
Because I think, like I was going to say, it's like I think it feels like something that's difficult to wear because it's got a bunch of patterns on it. You know what I mean? Or it's like patchwork or whatever. But because that's what I was trying to hit at, that cohesion thing. Because it's also, it all blends so nicely together. It's, you really just think of it as a denim shirt. And when we were styling it, I wanted to be like, let's style it like as if you're styling it on three different people's like wardrobes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, I think we did like something that was like denim on denim that kind of felt like that almost like, you know, traditional cowboy kind of Japanese spin sort of thing.
Yep. With like boots and
and it looked great. I mean, it looked
buttoned
awesome.
Up, nice and trim.
Yep. Yep. And then we did it with like, you know, fatigues and sneakers with it open to kind of have it feel like, you know, not streetwear, I wouldn't call it, but, you know, very casual, very like, and it still played there because the whole vibe is that these, you know, these shirts have been repaired over time or like added and adorned to, much like, you know, like the futon covers from Japan that a lot of people are familiar with seeing the burrow on. Yeah. I think it had that, it comes off casual in that way, or kind of like homey or like country
familiar
and I really like that about it because it feels like it can just play in like all these different spaces. I think we styled it pretty minimally too, like to try to keep it really just really clean and simple.
One was the story pants with the needles clogs.
I wanted to have it, I just think the thing that's interesting about a Western shirt is that it can be so many different things, you know what I mean? It can be this like buttoned up buttoned up, like, you know, not stuffy, but cowboy, like conservative kind of deal. You know what I mean? And it can also be, you know, this ultra hippie, like anti-establishment kind of thing. It can just play in so many different worlds that I think that that's what makes it fun. And then adding this, like, you know, very like Japanese country element to it, I think that it just feels so much like, it feels very like warm and inviting, even though, like I said, you know, people can maybe construe it as being like chaotic or something like that because of the patchwork element of it. But I think that like when you keep it all cohesive like that, it goes with anything. It looks great. It's easy to wear, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's only going to get better too because those fabrics are going to like rip and wear.
Yeah, they'll lay down, settle, form with you.
Yeah.
It is a new shirt when it's all said and done, technically.
Well, and that's what I mean. Look, I've been continually like I'd say one of the more like one of the cooler things we get to do on a daily basis is looking at like the Discord. I've said this before and going through like the kits thing and going like there's so many people with very different style here that all can live under, you know, one roof.
Yeah,
and I think that's the reason I think that's so cool. Is that's really when Bob and I first talked about, you know, starting the store and how we're going to buy it and what we're going to buy. That was the conversation. It was very much like, I don't think anyone dresses one way. I think everyone dresses a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think on top of that, they change year to year. So I wanted to create something that just felt like that. It felt like anybody could shop here and find what they were looking for. And, you know, the common bond being we're all clothes nerds. You know what I mean?
That's
really at the end of the day what it was, or Japanophiles or whatever it is that brought us all together. Yeah. But it's we have common interests elsewhere and those all can play in the same space. And that's what I'm really excited about with this one. Even seeing the people that have pre-ordered it so far, I'm excited to see how everyone styles it and does it. And, you know, I think that people are going to have fun looking at each other's and going, oh, yours has this fabric and mine has, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's really fun. I think that, like, I could see people, like, swapping over the years and things this, you know. And it's just a piece that I'm excited to see people style. So, you know, if you do end up buying one, we'd really love for you to share the photos with us, whether you want to do that publicly or privately.
See how you style it or...
Yeah. We just want to take a look at it because I think it's. I mean, it's. We've said it before. I do not take lightly that it's that this is a really cool thing that we get to do to collaborate with these like people that we really deeply respect, and
then that people buy it and enjoy it and love
100%
it and are excited.
It's
about
the
it.
Most. I mean, you've seen me. I'm not trying to be a martyr here by any stretch because I like doing it. Is every time we've run out of something and if I've got it, I'll be like, I'll sell mine because it's really. It just comes down to the fun part for me personally is not getting to wear the item.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do for other people.
Yeah,
and it's really I'd rather see somebody else wearing it than me wearing it.
I want to echo this just so everybody knows he's really not bullshitting. Over the years, the amount of time that Timothy has, we've gotten a shipment of something, he's been excited about it, he's purchased an item. It's happened well over 5, 6, 7 times where it just so happens the item sells out. Somebody reaches out wanting the exact size that he just bought for himself, hadn't even worn it, like hadn't even left the stew, or he brought it home last night and it was still folded and.
Yeah,
ended up selling it to somebody. But.
And like I said, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so great, I'm a martyr. It's not what this is. If I didn't want to sell it, I wouldn't have sold it. I could easily not. I really just like seeing people. That I think it's so cool that anyone would want to participate in the stuff that we do. So really, truly, please share the photos because I'm excited to see how people style this one. I think it's a piece that invites people to put their own spin on it.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's cool about it because there's part of me that you look at it and you're like, it's kind of divisive. Like it's like. It's patchwork. It's a, you know, it's a Western shirt. It's a lot of different things.
Yeah, some of them have like pretty different patterns on them. One has the flower motif, which I think is beautiful.
And I just I'm excited to see how people like look at it and spin it on their own because I think that like that's the coolest thing you can do with clothes is like I said it's the music thing again.
Yeah.
It's what I'm gonna do is not gonna be what somebody else does, and that's what's cool and inspiring about it. So I'm really excited again. The point was to create a piece that would feel personal to every person that was gonna wear it.
Yeah.
This is number one. It's going to feel that way because it's been so. This has touched so many people's hands before it's landed here on a hanger.
Yeah.
So this is a piece that it's like not only was it like washed and all this stuff and then hand done. I mean, this has been through people's. These have been handled. In a really cool way. I'm excited to see them get into people's hands so that they can do that again.
Yep.
And I want it because I think they're only going to get cooler as people like really put these through the paces. Like someone that like really. Digs in on this one that is going to be a really cool reward because these are going to age really great. I'm excited to people. I just want to see how people freak them.
So please share the photos, share your thoughts.
I'm trying to think of anything else that would be fun to share. I'm trying to think of questions people have for this kind of thing. I mean, people always want to know how closely we worked with the designer. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just, it was years of back and forth. And that was not daily back and forth. It's just like, you know, it's very much like, oh, I had an idea or maybe this will work or, you know, and it's just that kind of thing for years on end. And then until it was finally like, look, the way that we can do this is pull from my personal collection, and I'll be able to do the amount you need to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, I think you used a really great word in saying that it was very generous of him to like, to like,
he didn't have to do that.
No. We could have just said, hey man, I don't know if this project will work, or we're going to have to work on it. You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, with this one, every time it would get a little further down the road, I was like, it's not going to work out somehow. Cause this is kind of a tough thing to pull off at scale. Not that we're, I mean, this is limited to 100. There, it will not be. And people have already pre-ordered. If you haven't pre-ordered, again, please jump in our Discord. That's the only place that I think has access to pre-order right now. We're not doing these again. There will be no second run. There will be no, there's not like this. We maxed this out.
We want to collaborate with Orslow as much as we possibly can. We'll do more Orslow. This is not going to be,
it's not going to be this.
It's not coming back.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So if you love it, this is a one-time shot. People have already gotten, we've probably sold a quarter of them already.
Yeah.
And some of the staff and stuff like that. So this is a limited thing. We want people to get what you want. So if you, like, again, if you haven't pre-ordered, pre-order and get in the Discord. If you are going to wait, or if you're just hearing about this now and don't use Discord or whatever, it'll release on Friday morning at 10 a.m. So
Friday the 15th. This comes out Thursday the 14th.
Yep.
It will release Friday the 15th. 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
I think we usually do for special drops like 10:30.
Yeah. Okay. So around then. Yeah. So just, I mean, you know the deal. Put on alerts on your Instagram, all that stuff. We'll have probably like something on the website. Yeah, so get on there for that, because like I said, once these are gone, that is the end of them. They will not come back.
Yeah.
So not trying to be threatening, but other than that, these aren't hand numbered, but they were hand counted, and it is 100 on the dot.
100.
So yeah, it's exciting. I'm pumped to see people's response to this one in particular.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it's gonna go.
Yeah. But we love you, Ichiro. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ichiro. Thank you to the Orslow team, everyone that put all the time and effort into putting this together, because I know there's got to be employees over there that weren't thrilled about this one for us. So
it's the third fucking
week. Do they always have to do something? this is exciting. I'm pumped. We love the Orslow team and Orslow in general, and this is obviously always exciting to do. We had all that stuff going on with Orslow last month with the event
last
and everything.
Last month was the event, yep. And actually, Brondo, it was a year ago, almost on the dot, that we had the green kit.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you're right.
And the reason I know this is because I had COVID last year for my birthday. By the time COVID wrapped up, Shannon and I came in the first moment we tested negative, and we shot the kit.
Yeah.
Still.
Oh, very that's right. Hit. I remember that now.
So
yeah.
So it's literally a full year since that happened, which is crazy because I feel like the green kit came out like 3 years ago.
Like that's actually so strange that was as recent as it was.
Yeah.
What was our last collaboration? Was that the last one they dropped from Orslow?
No.
What
Repaired
am I missing?
107s.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That was more spring.
Yeah, yes. And we kind of ended up tying those together. Different things, because obviously those weren't using the same type of fabrics as this is. These are more like traditional Japanese and Burrow fabrics.
Yeah, that was
this was more like paneling and distressing and, you know, drawing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a different thing than that. This is cool. I would like to see someone style those together because we don't have any more. So it'd be cool to see someone to pull that off.
Someone out there has both.
Is doing both. Yeah. all right. Well, cool. I mean, this is going to be the last collaboration of the year. But we've got really, really exciting things cooking for next year. Like next year is going to, if everything like works out the way we have planned it already, it's going to be a fucking heater.
Yeah. We're going to fuck around big time next year.
So, yeah. So, thank you again for, you know, listening to this podcast and following
along. Yeah, I was going to say, it's great if you bought the shit, but also if you're just listening, that's also crazy and cool in its own way.
So. Yeah, even if you're just following. I understand that, like, not everyone can afford, you know $300, $400 shirts every time we drop them or it releases every can. So if you're just riding along and do it, please join in the conversation on Discord or in the comments or whatever. Like, you know, we like you just the same. It doesn't matter if you're shopping or not.
Yep.
We'll get you there eventually, or we'll find something for you.
Yeah.
But this has been really a fun year of this kind of stuff. I think it was let's go through it. What all did we drop this year? We had EG, obviously.
The EG collab. I'm wearing the blue jacket today.
We had the Burrow jeans.
EG top bottom two pants, the Repaired 107s.
Yeah.
The green Orslow kit was exactly a year ago,
so
technically
kind of
2022,
in, yeah.
But I'm sure we had the items into early 2023. Yeah.
I feel like we had like probably the like probably merch and water bottles and all that shit, candles and if you're listening too, you can know this to give you a little heads up.
Fuck yeah.
I think if everything goes correctly,
it'd be next week. So if you're hearing this Thursday, the week,
probably by Monday, maybe earlier. Yeah. Sticking it, we'll have our candles again.
Yeah,
They just arrived.
Petrichor and tobacco, and then Santal and Musk.
Yep. So those are back by popular demand. So we will have those out too. So we slipped that one into this year too. So, like I said, next year is gonna we look nothing's finalized just yet, and we'll start teasing it as we go. But we've got really cool shit planned. So we're fucking hyped.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Well. I think that's it. If you guys have questions, hit us up. If you have questions about like anything about the collab, hit us up in Discord or on Instagram or email us or whatever.
Yep.
Size charts are available. Our guys will get those to you. I think they're again on Discord. If you just want to check in there. What else would they need to know?
That's about it.
And they know the release time, December 15th, Friday.
Yep.
Around 10:30, 11, somewhere in there. Mountain Standard Time. So I think we're good. I mean, cop it if you can. I think, you know, it'll be cool. I think it'll be exciting for the customer too, because you don't know what you're gonna get exactly. So it'll be fun to see how everyone responds and everything turns out. And everything.
Yeah, so, I love. Yeah. It's like you said. If we're gonna get sandwiches for lunch or something, you'll always get whatever the chef special is or whatever.
100%. Yeah.
Whatever the unknown is.
Yeah, I just so, like to. I like
it's
to.
So
yeah,
fun.
It's fun to see, you know, what happens. So, So cop up, and you know, if you have questions, hit us up, and we're around, and we're good to go.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Peace.